All right, let's get started this morning. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19 is going to be our main passage this morning. Kenny, if you'll get that for us, Matthew 16, 19. Then Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Sam, if you'll get that for us. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that for us. Trevor Wright, if you'll get Matthew 16, 19, and that'll be the second time. Then 1 Samuel 16:23, David Sanchez, if you'll get that. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5, Lem, if you'll read that for us. And then 2 Samuel 5:23, Colby, if you'll get that. And then Matthew 16:19, this is the third time. Tony Begay, if you'll get that for us. And then 1 Corinthians 14, 15, IL, if you'll read that. Psalms 127 and verse 1. Brian, if you'll get that for us. Psalms 127, 1. And then lastly, Proverbs 27, 17. Jacob Salas, if you'll get that for us. Okay, so we've been looking at concert ministry, revisiting some of these different foundations for it. Last time we had Serious Men, I was going to say last week, it was a couple weeks ago, we looked at applying excellence to your ministry. And it's very important having that mindset, but we cannot discount the supernatural aspect of all ministry. And concert prayer is a vital part of our concert ministry. And this is, number one, what we need to contend for in our prayer room is for prayer. We need to invite God to help us. We need to get God involved in the night through prayer. The prayer meeting is very important. So just looking at excellence, that's everything we can do. But then prayer, that is what we need God to do, things we need Him to get involved with. So let's look at Matthew 16, 19, our main passage.
And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven.
Okay, so concert prayer is the title of this lesson. So let's look firstly at the prayer key. We understand that keys give us access. And Jesus teaches here in our text that prayer is a key that gives us access to heaven. That is what he's saying. Whatever you say on earth, and we'll get more specific in that, but whatever we're saying here, it gives you access to heaven. And that's very important. Daniel 10 and verse 12.
Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your word was heard, and I have come because of your words."
Okay, so here this is all about Daniel's prayer. He's needing wisdom. He's seeking understanding. And when the answer comes, and in this case, in the form of an angel, speaks with him and says, from the first day you began to pray, from the first day you began to seek, your request had been heard in heaven. In other words, immediately, because of this key, you have access to God. You have access to God's throne, and God immediately responds. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7, 14.
"My people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land."
Okay, again, all I'm doing is establishing this understanding. And here in 2 Chronicles, God speaks and says, if my people will pray. Prayer, and what is going to be God's response? I'll hear from heaven. I will respond to your prayers. So this is a key that in our passage, Jesus says, use it. You have it. Get God involved. You want to access heaven? Prayer is that key, and we still have this key. And Jesus ensured that it belongs to us as believers. Matthew 16 and verse 19.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
All right, I'm giving you keys or authority, right? Sometimes keys are a picture of authority. I do not have a key to your home. Why? Because that's your place. That is your authority. There are keys that you have access to. There's other keys you don't have access to. But Jesus says here in our passage, there are some keys that I have given to you. And one of those keys is prayer. And this is supposed to be used. It's intended to be used. Right? It would be foolish if I came to the back door right now and I called Ael, can you let me in? Why? Why would he need to do that? I have a key. I can access the building. I can get inside. You have to use it. And this is one of those things that people, they have the key of prayer. The problem is they don't use it. They have the key of prayer to get God involved in their life, and in this case, in their ministry, in the concert, in their outreach, and yet they do not use it. See, prayer is vital to everything we do in our concert ministry. We absolutely should utilize and apply this key to our ministry. And there's things we can pray for. We can pray for anointing. Anointing is divine effectiveness, right? We need God to make what we are doing supernaturally effective. Talent and ability will go so far. Talent and charisma or our effects of video and screens and lights and smoke and everything, it will go so far, but we need divine effectiveness. 1 Samuel 16:23.
And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better and the tormenting spirit would go away.
Think about this divine effectiveness as Saul is tormented in his own life, tormented by his own rebellion and disobedience towards God. But just in this aspect, David can come and play some music. David can come and play the harp, and because he was anointed by God, the tormenting spirit would go away. That's powerful. We need to pray for that in our concerts, that when we have bands ministering, that tormenting spirits, lying demon spirits, rejection and fear and all the different things that are swirling in the supernatural in someone's life would go away. But how do you get that? You ask for it. You contend for it. You have to pray for it. So we can pray for anointing. In our concerts, we should be praying for guidance. 2 Chronicles 26:5.
He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper.
Okay, so this is Uzziah, and in the days of Zechariah, it's just giving you a time frame and a reference point. As long as Uzziah sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. God gave him favor. God helped him. So this is something we can pray for. God, we need a sensitivity to your spirit. We need a sensitivity to what you're doing. Maybe guidance, and that could be inspiration for future events and things that we can do to draw people in. And so as long as he sought guidance, God gave it access. Again, why? Because prayer is a key that accesses heaven. Prayer is the avenue for guidance. Finally, then, we can pray for strategy. 2 Samuel 5:23.
And again, David asked the Lord what to do. "Do not attack them straight on," the Lord replied. "Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees."
Okay, here is David in battle and in warfare. He is asking God, what should we do? What should we do? Give us a strategy. And that's something we can pray for in our concerts. God, give us a strategy. God, reveal when, maybe sometimes when we pull the altar call. God's moving after a testimony, something supernatural. God can prompt you and inspire you to use a strategy or apply a strategy, right? Whatever that is, there are so many ways this works out. We need to use this prayer key to get God involved in what we are doing. So let's look secondly at binding and loosing. Part of this key, Jesus says, involves declaring. It involves you using your words and saying, speaking out, what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. So let's read Matthew 16:19 again. I think that's the third time. Kenny, if you have it, you can go. Yeah.
"And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven."
Okay, so his translation is saying forbid or permit, which is, yeah, another translation says bind or loose. So, forbid, I like his translation. Again, bind, it simply means no. In other words, Jesus is saying when you use this key to access heaven, then whatever you say no to, heaven will back your no. Heaven will get involved in your no. So part of prayer is saying no to some things, right? We can say no to witchcraft and people who would be working against this ministry, working against or trying to manipulate people out of, visitors out of coming. No, I say no to witchcraft. We can say no to weapons formed against this ministry. We can say no to barrenness. Absolutely not. We will not be fruitless. We will have fruit. We can say no to the spirit of despair. We can say no to division. We can say no to rebellion. We can say no to mockery. We can say no to hardened hearts. So again, this key, when you apply it, whatever you forbid will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatever you say no to, because you have the key, will be no in heaven. It'll back up your no. Then secondly, whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Another translation, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Loose simply means yes. So now prayer not only involves saying no to some things, we should also in prayer be saying yes to some things. And again, whatever you say yes to, heaven will back up your yes. Why? Because you use the key, which is prayer. So part of prayer involves saying yes. I say yes to dominion. I say yes to fruitfulness. I say yes to favor. I say yes to visitors. I say yes to miracles. I say yes to deliverance. So in all of that, there's going to be things in that prayer room, right? From 6 to 6:25. Think about it. It's not a whole lot of time, 25 minutes. You use way more time on TikTok. You use way more time on Instagram. You use way more time. You could take 25 minutes to say no to some things. You could take 25 minutes to say yes to some things. You could take 25 minutes to engage with God and access the throne of heaven. You can take some time to do 25 minutes to do some spiritual warfare. 25 minutes to shout the roar of victory in the face of hell. You're not going to win here. You're not going to have dominion here. You're not going to have authority here. We will have. We will see. Right? So you can take that time to access, use your key to access heaven. So this also then means when you pray, you need to think, what do I want to see? What do I want to see? What do I want to have happen? What do I want to be loosed in this night? What do I want to be bound in this night? What do I want to say yes to or no to? Pastor Greg used to tell us as disciples, to be a man of prayer, you need to think. So you need to think through. Let's read 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15.
What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding.
Okay, so here Paul is talking about, in the context, it's prayer. And he says prayer is not all or just speaking in tongues. And prayer is not all or just words we understand. So what should I do? That's how verse 15 starts. So what should I do? I will pray in the Spirit. In other words, I will pray in tongues. And I will also pray in words I understand. So when you are in the prayer room, you may not know how to articulate everything. But you can pray, God, I pray for the bands tonight. God, I'm asking that you anoint them, right? Lift them up, each band member, those you can remember by name. Lift up maybe those you know who are testifying, those who are going to be preaching, the various ministries. You lift them up in prayer, and then you back up those words that you understand with tongues. Right? You pray in words you understand and then in tongues. And we understand, the Bible says, that when we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gets involved and gets on to work on our behalf. I don't know everything I should pray for, but because I've already accessed heaven, when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will help that prayer. The Holy Spirit will accelerate and enable that prayer. The Holy Spirit will add because you've given access to that prayer. So you need to think, God, I pray for anointing upon the bands. I pray for anointing upon the preacher. I pray for anointing upon those who are testifying. God, I'm asking you to anoint the sound man, anoint the drama team, right? Think it through. God, let visitors come in and be compelled to stay to the end. That they would come at God. Let people that are driving by be supernaturally drawn into this place. Let every flyer that's gone out today on outreach have a supernatural tug to this place tonight. Let the altar be a place, a meeting place with God. Let there be a divine effectiveness tonight. Let there be a spirit of unity, right? You recognize there's things you're saying no to. There's things you're saying yes to. And you have to think it through. You have to apply this key, binding and loosing. There's going to be things I say yes to, and there's going to be things I say no to. You know, every weekend on the screens, now Pastor Devin Riles had the idea to put up on the screens prayer targets. I think for the most part, it's become another picture on the wall during prayer. right? Because we get used to it. But you know what? He did that on purpose, these prayer targets, to hopefully inspire and encourage prayer. In those slides, there are things to say yes to. And in those slides, there are things to say no to. In those slides, it tells you what bands are ministering. In those slides, it tells you the various ministries. It tells you all the band names. In those slides, there's a lot going on with them. But you know what? Those slides can trigger and inspire yeses and no's. Okay, let's look finally then at use the key. Now, of course, every believer should use this key, but I think also every believer can use this key. It's our access to heaven. So, men, as disciples here this morning, every disciple should use this key. Every disciple on any level, whether an altar call preacher, someone in pursuit of ministry, you can use your key. In other words, your key is your words, your mouth, your yeses and nos. Every disciple should do that. Every leader should use this key. If you are a band leader, you should be using this key. If you're a drama leader, right? If you're a leader in any level or capacity of 180, you should be leading by example and using your key in the prayer room. Finally, then, every person involved in whatever capacity should and could use this key. Because without this key, what else are we standing on? Ourselves, right? I don't have the power to change anyone's life. Jesus does. What else are we going to stand on? How else are we supposed to build the kingdom of heaven? Right? Psalms 127 in verse 1.
If the Lord doesn't build the house, the builders are working for nothing. If the Lord doesn't guard the city, the guards are watching for nothing.
Okay, if God isn't building this kingdom, then we're just running in circles. We absolutely need God. So how else are we supposed to build? We do our part, excellence, last lesson, and we invite God to do his part, prayer and using the keys. And then God will help us build his work. So the blessing now is prayer will produce results. Prayer works. Prayer absolutely gets the job done because this is God's means for accessing heaven. So can I inspire you this morning? Can I inspire you and tell you your prayers could be the difference maker of a concert? Your prayers, you know, there's amazing joy when you pray something specific and it happened. Where it happens. It's just like, man, I contended for that. I prayed for that. I believed God for that. Your prayers could be the difference maker of a concert. Secondly, then your prayers can inspire others to pray. Proverbs 27:17.
As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Okay, so in this, your prayers can inspire others to pray, or your prayer life, as iron sharpens iron. Right? When you begin to get serious about prayer, your friends might get inspired. Your colleagues, your those you're involved in ministry with. Right? As a band leader, I remember one time now, Evangelist Wright, he was concert director, you know, approaching and challenging me about our prayer lives as a band. You know, dealing and saying, hey, man, you guys, and it's true, we were messing around. We were using that 25 minutes for laughs and jokes. right? And a distraction. And at first, I didn't receive it. But then, you know, he approached me a second time. I need your help with something. I need you to help me to pray. Let's contend together. You know what? I took that challenge. And as I began to lead in prayer as the band leader, guess what? My band followed. Right? And then as we encouraged each other in prayer as disciples. So your prayers can inspire others to use those 25 minutes to lay a hold of God. To really, not just because I have to be here. Well, I have to be here if I want to play tonight. Well, we have to be here if we want to be. Well, we have to. No, I get to be here. And I want to be here. And I desire to establish an atmosphere where people are going to get radically converted. You can be part of that inspiration. In East Rochester, we used to have our concerts in a separate part of our building. We had a back entrance, and we called it Rock 180, ROC for Rochester. And so it was a cool venue. And the hard part, though, is, you know, we're such a big city. And so we would outreach the East Rochester area, but we would also pray for our events at our Rock 180. Because it was such a big city that God would put us in contact with people on the east side. So every concert or other special events, God put us in contact with people that live on the east side. And this was because, again, the greater population was 1 million people. So sometimes we were evangelizing in the north end of town, on the west end of town, on the south end of town, and in the east area. But it was amazing as we contended and prayed that way. And I would encourage disciples and those involved, let's be in prayer that God's going to put us in contact with people on the east side. It was amazing how many times we'd hear, oh, get a flyer, I live in East Rochester. Or I live near there. Or, you know what, man, I live on the east side. Awesome, I'll check this out. And then to get those visitors into the venue. It was always encouraging. But you know what? It was contended for. Many times we're on the opposite end of the city. We're in the central part of the city. You know, in city driving, we could be 15 minutes away, and that's like way over there, you know. That's like from here to Phoenix in their heads, right, in city living. But you know what? We would get in contact. Why? Because we were praying for it. And there are so many valuable lessons. That why did I do that? Because there were so many valuable lessons that I had when it came to prayer and concert ministry. So this is something that, this is a key that we can use to access heaven. Okay, let's open it up for questions then. Yeah, David.
You mentioned strategies, to pray for strategies that God can inspire you to help with. It sounds like you just mentioned one right now. Do you have some other examples, types of strategies?
Yeah, strategy of drawing people. So maybe an advertisement. God, give us a strategy. What will work? What will get people in? I was just answering questions in Ogden, and I had a guy, a pastor, clearly he was discouraged with their concert ministry, and he said, people just don't like concerts anymore. I was like, okay, I'm going to push back on that, okay? Yes, they do. Okay, and I said, maybe you need to find what works. So is it in advertisement, like I just said? Secondly, when we have, right, we're faithfully there every weekend, right, in our 180. But we also, a majority of our visitors come from personal invites, right? But when do we get our most visitors? We could say in special events, but what about special events works here in Prescott? Iconic things. Anything iconic draws a huge crowd, right? That's a strategy. That's being able to see it and recognize that's a strategy for my city. So I tell people, in New York, we could say, hey, this underground band is going to be playing at Rock 180. Oh, nice, because this could be the next big thing. A local playwright wrote this play and is going to be performing it at Rock 180. right? They're into that. But here in Prescott, if we say a local playwright wrote this and they're going to be at the 180 Event Center. So, what is it? I don't know anything about it. But if it's a parody or something iconic, I'm interested. This band is doing a special country night, punk rock night, you know, fill in the blank. Iconic ideas, that's a strategy, right? So you can pray for that. Yeah, good. Yes.
What is an iconic idea?
Just something that's very well known. So when we do a super fairy tale, okay, and we put iconic characters on the flyer, people know it. It's, yeah, an icon, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Good, good. Any other questions? Thinking about concert prayer. Yeah, Trevor.
I know maybe you were talking about the inspiring the band and getting stuff like as band leaders. So how do I do this like practically with prayer and that? You mentioned like being in prayer, being an example of myself. But is there any other like, any other stuff that I can do practically just to put that on?
Yeah, great question. I think number one is going to be exampleship, right? When you, especially as a band leader, when your band sees you pulling for prayer, pulling for excellence, right? All those things, it's going to become the culture of your band. So lead by exampleship, number one. Number two, pray for your band. Pray for you yourself to have a vision and inspiration for prayer, but then lift up your bandmates by name and pray, God, give them a passion and a hunger for prayer, that we would be a band focused in prayer. Right? So you pray, exampleship, pray for them. Then you can gently encourage. You know, just even like this, I would do this. Man, I heard a serious man on prayer, and I recognize that I haven't been leading by example in this. And I want to be better at that, guys. I do apologize. But I want to lead us with prayer, and I want us to together keep each other accountable. Right? So then it's not like, I'm praying, you're not, you're messing us up, you know? So, yeah. So let's keep each other accountable. And even when, you know, years ago, your dad was concert director and he talked, I need your help with something. I did talk to my band. Said, you know what? Micah talked to us or talked to me, and I recognize we haven't been the best example in prayer. And I want us to keep each other accountable. We need to be praying for the night. We need God's help. And you know what? That didn't only help us as a band. It helped us spiritually. It helped the concert, right? It helped so many benefits that play out. Yeah, good. So gently encourage. Yeah.
I know the focus is on the 25-minute prayer, but you know, as a either a concert director or just a person involved, do you ever notice like things that are not happening, and then it pushes you into your private prayer time that you say, you know what, I need to really, you know, see things through in that. Have you ever seen that or whatever?
Yeah, definitely. Is when, you know, so number one, there's corporate prayer, but then, yeah, you have to have a personal prayer life. If the only time you're praying is Saturday night, you know,
yeah,
that's just not the healthiest, right? We need to have an established prayer life. But yeah, that's where my prayer life started, though. It started on Saturday nights at 180. It started on Sunday nights at church and Wednesday nights when I could make it, right? Depending on schedule and work and getting here on a Wednesday evening. So it did start 3 nights a week, right? Or 3 evenings a week. But eventually it grew into a personal prayer life. So that's, yes, number one. Number two is absolutely, when there's things I'm not seeing, I personally will go and pray. Absolutely, and see it through. As a concert director, as a pastor even, sometimes there's things that you feel resistance or you recognize. I'll go and pray through the sanctuary. I'll go and pray, lay hands in the sanctuary. Or I'll go and pray at 180. And just contend for bands. I've prayed for practice rooms, just place my hand on the door. God, help these bands. Bless them. God, give them inspiration. Quicken them. Right? All those different things. Yeah, absolutely. It does prompt personal prayer life. Yeah. Yeah, Tony.
What strategies can you explore when you're not seeing your prayers answered?
Yeah, you've got to keep contending, right? So what did Jesus say? So here he says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, what you say yes and no to. But then he also says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Another translation, I think it's New Living Translation, says, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. So it's a continuous. So sometimes, Tony, yeah, is you're not seeing it through. That's what we call contending. Contending means focused prayer. So if I'm not seeing it, it's unacceptable. Why? Because God told me this is what should happen. Because the Word of God says. So you bring the Word of God into those persistent prayers, right? The Bible says Jesus tells the parable of the unjust judge. But when he leads with that, it says, and then he told them a prayer about continuing to ask God for different things, right? The whole point of the parable was to keep pushing it through. And so, yeah, when you're not seeing it, there has to be something in you, a fight. I call it, you got to go like pit bull status, lockjaw. You bite onto that and you don't let it go until you get it. That's an aggression. That's a spirit. Problem is, some guys, they go, Lord, help us. Oh, he didn't help us. Oh, well, I guess. No, you're not going to last very long in ministry. You're not going to see results. You have to have an inner aggression. So that would be something then you could pray for also. Give me an aggression for this breakthrough. Give me faith for this breakthrough, right? So those would be some things you can do. Good. Yeah, Micah.
So what are some strategies of figuring out what works like in a pioneering setting? And kind of the context, I remember you mentioned that when you had a band, you guys appealed to kind of the sounds of that time. How did you kind of figure out if you kind of removed from, you know, listening to the latest music and stuff, how do you kind of figure out what are people into at that time, like a pioneer setting or, you know, things like that?
Yeah. Look at the response, right? Really, just look at the response. So, you know, when I've seen California Stop play outside of 180, okay? And when California Stop plays, people stop. And they tune in their ear. They, what is this, right? And not only young people of all ages, they have a pretty transcendent sound that works. So you got to look at response. That's what's going to help you, right? Then, in finding what's working at the time, you can, Google is a tool. So you can Google what are people most into. You can find anything on Google. If you're moving to a new city, you can get the demographics broken down, everything, right? Chat it. I don't care. Figure it out. Ask some questions and you'll be able to see, and it'll break down the algorithms for you. Yesterday, Mathen made a statement about podcasts being listened to more than music. That was surprising to me. Guess what I did? I Googled it immediately, right? Because I want to know. And you know what came to my mind immediately? Could we use that in some way? Some type of live podcast outreach. If people are so into it, right? Immediately, my brain gets going. And then, yeah, it's true. By the listening of podcasts surpasses the streaming or listening of any of the platforms, right? Why? Because people like the connection they feel with that podcast speaker. They feel, hey, well, thank you for tuning in today. We're so grateful to have you. It's always awesome when you clue. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe. And you know what? They're talking to you.
Right.
They're talking to you. But then the second part of that is they get to listen, feel connection. Secondly, they get a deeper I don't know how it worded it, but it was like a deeper
trust.
No, it's like satisfaction because they're learning something, right? What they're listening to is either teaching them something or giving them insight on something, or there's another way it's worded. But in that, it's deeper than just a song. So they're liking the connection they feel with the person, a deeper meaning to what they're listening to. And then finally, people can multitask. They can do menial tasks of changing the oil in the car, or washing the dishes, or vacuuming the house, whatever, while those other two things are happening. So it kind of makes some sense, right? And they can do something else and accomplish that while at the same time feeling like they're learning something deeper. So all of that, that's fascinating to me. That's interesting to me. And in it, Micah, to your question, this is a very big answer, but you can figure it out. You have tools and resources in your hands. AI can tell you whatever you want to know. It can be a tool for things like what you're asking. Yep. And so absolutely, we appealed to the time. And how did we know? The response. And then there was anointing connected with that as well. Right? Is not only in the response and the draw, people wanted to come, but then there was a supernatural draw when it came to salvation. Yeah. Good. Good, good. Yeah, Sam.
What are some things that you personally prayed for as a concert preacher?
Yeah.
Specific
stuff. Part of what's on those slides, Devin asked me. I don't know. Last time I saw, there was like 14 slides or something. I don't know how many there are now, but in all of those were just different categories that I said, these are things you can pray for. So yeah, revisit those. And then personally as a band, yeah, we prayed for anointing and then I'll get to preaching. We prayed for anointing as a band. We prayed for supernatural inspiration. We did pray for, to Micah's question, that we would have a current sound that would be appealing to people. We prayed that people would definitely respond because of our music, and that happened. We had people, whenever we played one altar call song in particular, I can't tell you how many times mid-song people repented. Literally, mid-song. They're leaning to the person next to them, pray with me right now. Weeping and praying during the song. But that was Holy Ghost. So that's what we'd pray for as a band. As a preacher, I would pray for anointing. I would pray for boldness. I would pray for confidence. I would pray for that my message would be clear. I would pray for dominion. I would rebuke headstrong pride. I would come against, the Bible says you are, right, in a negative sense, you're a headstrong people and a stiff-necked people. So I would pray against stiffness of neck, which, you know, not just stiff neck literally, right, but that resistance. I'd rebuke pride and rebellion. I'd pray for humble hearts. I'd pray for that my words would penetrate hearts and not fall to the ground. I would pray for hands raised. I would pray for radical conversions. I would pray for fruit that would remain as a result of that altar call. So a lot of things. Again, you look at it, what do I want to see? Yeah. Good. Good question. Yeah.
Just, like a high volume of visitors is connected to anointing too through the prayer, right? To draw for an event. You can do an event, but just having just visitors.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a supernatural dimension. Yeah. That God would supernaturally draw hearts, right? And the Bible says he drew them in Hebrews. He drew them unto himself with cords of love. God's going to be there. So he wants sinners to be there, right? So that's a way you can pray. You mentioned too, it's a great testimony, on the first Monday night park outreach, right? Bands are playing, testimonies are happening, movie plays, you are preaching, and there was a guy that came, and what was his words to you? I was drawn. He could hear from his job everything that was going on, and said, I want to go see this. And when he got off work immediately, he said, I was drawn to this place. That's supernatural. That's a way to pray. And that would be a reference point. God, just like that man, draw others to make it a reference point. Yeah, good. Alrighty. Any other questions? All right, we'll stop there then. Thank you guys.